name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this exciting weekly talk radio program where I get to interview the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world, mainly about the turning points in their lives and what motivated them to reach their successes. You see, I was a chiropractor for many years and discovered that most people, myself included, have what I call an underlying pattern of hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our destiny. And quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered that I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. Now, the guests on my show were selected not because they're familiar with my work, in fact, many aren't, but because they have obviously made some strong decisions in their own lives that led them to their current successes in life. My goal in having them on this show is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions. This will allow you, as my listeners, to maybe pick up some special nuggets that you can add to your motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. Now, normally this show would be live, and I would invite you to call in with your questions and comments, but since I was unable to schedule my current guest for our usual showtime of 6 p.m. on Tuesday, he generously agreed to let me pre-record this conversation and upload it to the show you are listening to right now. So let me introduce my guest. He is Joey Smith, and I'm honored to have you on the show, Joey. Joey is an award-winning internet marketer, speaker, author, coach, and social media evangelist. And I'll let him explain what that means. His passion is twofold. Number one, making money online and helping others do the same. And Joey has well over a decade of experience in technology management, which includes training, development, technology consulting, telecommunications, media communications, manufacturing, distribution, and he's got a whole list of things here. I won't go down the list, but my guest also won the 1999 Microsoft Project of the Year in the Knowledge Management category, as well as the Microsoft Pinnacle Award for Best Innovative ERM Solution in 2003. He also won the John Maxwell Leadership Award in 2001 and helped create the only international success training system for IT managers called the IT Manager Success University. As I said, Joe is a current full-time internet marketer whose main focus is on the rapidly growing field of social media. And I heard Joe at a recent conference or event by an internet marketing whiz by the name of Joe Lavery, and Joey was the main speaker, the introducing speaker, I should say. He's quite lively, got us going, and I learned quite a bit from him. So, Joey, I'll let you tell us what a social media evangelist is and what he does, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, so evangelist, you know, I have a grandfather. He's an evangelist in the traditional sense, you know, from a Baptist preacher standpoint. So what an evangelist really is somebody who gets the word out and spreads the message and, you know, is very excited to share with people the concept. And so a social media evangelist is one who's extremely excited to share the message of what social media can do for your business. And I'm kind of a convert, really. You know, just a short few years back, I was kind of one of those naysayers on social media and called it a waste of time and all those kinds of things, and I've seen the light that you know, I've spent over $37,000 a month in Google AdWords before, and now I don't spend any money on getting traffic at all. I use only social media right now.
Wow.
So that's kind of what I mean by evangelist.
Yeah, that's quite a pay raise there, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
What other influences did you have when you were younger, or how did you see your life developing? And mainly, give me some turning points. Give me something that happened
Sure.
that maybe put you on the path to where you are right now.
Yeah, and it's a very weird path, I might add. I was supposed to be a rock star.
You're supposed to be.
Yeah, so right now I'm supposed to be a rock star, on tour, traveling, playing for a band, that kind of thing. So my entire life, my dad was a musician. He played in a country band, and I even played washtub bass when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
So I had the stick with the cord, you know, and I would play washtub bass. And I probably was no good, but everybody at least thought I was cute doing it as a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that kind of inspired me to be a musician. So from the time that I was very young and even going through college, I went to Georgia State University as a music major in percussion, as a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And my entire life was centered around becoming a rock star, becoming a musician. And I played locally here in Atlanta. and many different clubs here locally. And I found a girl and got married, and she had already had a son, so I became an instant father and realized I couldn't make family pay and pay the bills playing clubs as a musician. Mm. So that's kind of when I got a job. Mm-hmm. And I got a job that I didn't enjoy. So most people who get a job that they don't enjoy, they are always either dreaming about something else or wanting to go to a different level or do something more. And so how my path got to internet marketing and even technology, because you mentioned all the technology creds there, is I was playing. I still played on the evenings and weekends. I still played in a band and worked full-time now for a warehouse. So I was shipping and packaging boxes and driving a forklift and doing, you know, that kind of stuff, blue-collar mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went to a concert. I was playing in Snow Mountain Park at a festival called the Edge Fest. And I don't believe they had – I think they only maybe did 1 or 2 years of this particular festival at Snow Mountain Park. And I was playing, and I ran across a fellow musician that I met at Georgia State. This was several years later, maybe 1996 or 97. And I met him there, and we traded, "What are you doing these days?" And I said, "Well, I'm working at this warehouse. What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm a Microsoft certified systems engineer." And so I'm like, "What the heck is that?" And he's like, "Well, you know, you mess with computers, and, you know, I'm making like $50,000. And my eyes were really, really big. Like, here's a musician who now is making $50,000 a year tinkering with computers.
Right.
So that was when I said, "Tell me more." Now, prior to that point, I started playing around with some HTML, first, you know, for my band, and then second for a lot of companies and things where they knew I had a little HTML skills, and so I was doing these little off websites on the side. Mm-hmm. Well, he got me to work for his company where he was a certified systems engineer to help them with web development because I knew a little bit about that. That was kind of his angle to get me into that company. Mm-hmm. And so, long story short, so I got into the company. There was a company here in Atlanta who was a Microsoft partner, and I became their web guy. They actually called me Spidey, you know, for Spider-Man,
yeah,
because I was the web guy.
Right.
The only web guy at the time, and this was in 1997.
Uh-huh.
And I helped them build a team of about 60 web developers because that's when everything started busting and blossoming.
Yeah.
Online on the internet around that time period.
Right.
And several projects I worked on, you had mentioned the 1999 Microsoft Project of the Year, was I was the lead developer and architect for an internet application for Cox Communications. And that won that award. Here's a guy, I had long hair, like hair all the way down to my waist.
Wow.
To be a rock musician, you know, just like back in the 80s, kind of rock musician. And now I've got a suit and tie on at a Fortune top 50 company working in their IT department. So it's like this, you know, this huge disparity between being a rock star and then now all of a sudden, you know, working a real legitimate job, and the income went up from there, and then left them in 2000, March of 2000, actually right before the dot-com bubble burst. So I don't know how it happened, but I got out right at the right time.
Mm.
And went to work for John Maxwell. And John Maxwell is a leadership guru. In our circles, we call him infopreneurs, mm-hmm. where he was selling leadership information, training, and stuff like that. But he was mainly in-person events. You know, he did workshops
sure.
and things like that. And he hired me to build their e-commerce platform and to take them to the next level online. And I did that and actually helped them go to $2.5 million a year in online sales that he didn't have prior to hiring me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what got me into, oh, my gosh, you can sell information and make millions of dollars.
So you sort of stumble along in there. And for the
uh-huh.
listeners, for the listeners who don't know, I saw Joey in person, and he looks very respectable. He's not.
I have short hair now.
He's not a hippie anymore. And he had us all screaming to the top of our lungs in 5-10 minutes. I think it took you about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it took me 10 minutes.
Yeah, but we were a little slow. So anyway, you sort of went through the back door and into the information and infomercial arena, and got your feet wet there.
Yes.
What was your feeling on that? I mean, you were married at the time, right?
Yeah.
And I guess your wife was happy you had some money. yeah. or were earning some money. And then what happened? Because told this story before at the event, but it's a really good story. So
literally from the 1997 time period to about 2005, we doubled, tripled, quintupled, our income.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of money for people in their late 20s and early 30s to go from warehouse pay to double six-figure pay. And, you know, with it happening so fast, it's almost as if, you know, the responsibility of being able to manage that didn't catch up with the actual cash that was coming in. So we did increase our life expenses, let's put it that way, the new cars, the big house, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in 2005, John sold the company. So a company that I was on the leadership team of and helped build, especially their online component, he sold it in 2005, and the company that came in already had, they already thought they knew what they knew, what they were doing or whatever, and so they kind of let his current leadership team go, and I was on that team. And so I had to leave in 2005 when he sold it. And that was when I was like, okay, now what do I do? And, you know, I read this book. I don't have it on my desk, I believe. And so I wish I could give the author credit. Maybe I'll find it and send you an email. It was called Unemployable.
Uh-huh.
And so I read this book, and it talked about, creating information and, duplicating yourself and becoming unemployable, meaning never get a job.
Uh-huh.
So when my wife said, what are you going to do? Because I did get some severance from, leaving them in 2005 when he sold it.
Mm-hmm.
My wife said, now what are you going to do? And I read this book, and I said, I can tell you what I'm not going to do. And she said, what? And I said, I'm not going to get a job. And
that made her happy.
It made her extremely happy. Actually, it didn't, to say the least. You've heard the whole story.
Yeah.
She wasn't happy about that, and she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, I'm going to do my own thing. And that even made her, more anxious. But I said, I'm never going to get a job. And still to this day, that was in 2005. We're halfway through 2009, and I still haven't got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to get a job. Mm-hmm. And because I did learn some secrets, especially from John Maxwell, that the person who creates and controls the information is the person who's in charge.
Right.
And so when I left in 2005, I created a product called the IT Manager Success University. You just had mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a few techniques from the late and great Corey Rudel. I had his internet marketing kit from way back when.
Yeah, I heard about Corey. He died in his own – he had a race car, and he died in that.
He did.
Yeah.
He's kind of one of the godfathers of the internet.
Yeah, I was listening to his videos and didn't know he was dead. I was like getting all excited listening to his videos. It says, I got to study into this guy. I found out he was dead.
Yeah.
I was going, holy cow.
Yeah, I'd actually got his kit back in 2002 while I was working for John and never took shrink wrap off. And now, 2005, I'm like saying I'm never going to get the job. And so I kind of looked on my shelves and saw it and dusted it off. And that gave me the idea to create this product, IT Manager Success University.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of put together this outline and wrote a sales page and used, some of the internet marketing tactics for that, and launched a product, got a few JVs, virtually no list and no experience creating my own products and projects, made 40K in 40 hours launching this product. And that's when I was like, okay, this is it. I'm on to it. And then, as I said in the conference, I then spent the 40K and bought everybody and their brother's marketing courses out there, from Alex Mendozian to, Matt Basic to any guys you can think of. I bought all their stuff. I have this huge library of internet marketing stuff.
I think you and Russell Brunson probably cornered the market on the information products. Russell makes videos of his library. He goes around and shows everybody. And ask everybody to send him their old stuff.
I have everything from product launch form. If you name it, any big launch that's out there, I have it.
That's great.
And at one point in time, I had everybody's subscription. I had so many subscriptions, everything from StomperNet to, Frank Kern's Mass Control Syndicate, which was $300 a month. StomperNet was $800 a month. I had all these subscriptions that I was paying a monthly subscription fee, probably about $3,500 to $4,500 a month in just subscription fees to internet marketing training.
Uh-huh.
And so my yearly budget starting in 2005 for training was $100,000 a year.
Wow.
So, as you can see, I had to make more than that.
Yeah,
you support it.
Yeah, so about this time, I mean, you made $40,000, you said.
Yeah.
How's it been for you? Yeah, so has it been for you since, or has it been paying more, or did it drop off, or you created other products, I assume?
I definitely created other products, and the biggest thing that I did was take that initial sale and turned it into a continuity program.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the IT managers and my list from the JVs and turned it into a continuity program called IT Octane, and it was a monthly membership. And it was $30 a month, and you know, built that up to 1,000 subscribers.
Wow!
And of
IT, that's still going, I guess, huh?
It's not still going because what I did. This is interesting. So I built this IT business. Now, keep in mind, I got an IT not because I enjoyed it or loved it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. I hated IT. I really did.
Okay.
I built this IT Manager Success University to help IT managers cope with their hate. Because if you talk to most IT managers, they're stressed out. They have no life. They don't even know their children's names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this product was kind of to help them get out of the IT part of IT and be successful with people skills, relationships, leadership from John Maxwell, all those kinds of concepts, which is why I'm into social media. Because as you could tell at the event, I love networking with the people and going out, hanging out with them and just the relationship side.
Right.
So I'm trying to teach IT managers how to do that. So I started building this IT Manager Success membership, helping IT managers be the best IT managers they could be, but I hated it.
Hmm.
I loathed it. I mean, literally every week to get on that conference call and listen to IT managers talk about their problems was like I didn't even want to get out of bed.
Well, at least you had a passion.
Yeah, I did.
At least you were passionate about your subject one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. So I created this income stream that I literally loathed. It became that job to me that I said I would never get, you know, because I hated it. So I had the perfect opportunity to get rid of it. So I got rid of the entire IT manager. I still sell IT Manager Success University to this day. It's a ClickBank product now.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have to do anything. It's a standalone product. They can consume it. You don't need me. I don't have the membership anymore because I killed it. I said, I'm not doing it anymore. I dropped the whole thing to sell a health insurance product. And so I built this whole health insurance online enrollment product online. And so that's what I had been doing for the last year or so. I was expecting a big $1 million payday. That never happened. So now here I am again, you know, building an internet marketing business from scratch. And that's when I started looking to, you know, what should I do? And that's what got me into social media. So So I've never been happier playing in the social media world. I love social media because it's really, I got you standing up and yelling and clapping, and here I am a rock star on stage, right? I'm what I always wanted to be.
Right. You always wanted people to do that.
I always wanted people to do that. You know, I even faked you guys into doing a standing ovation, you know.
Right.
So I'm living in my own little dream world.
That's
here.
Great. That's great. That's great, Joey. What was it? Now, you had mentioned during the event there was a turning point, and the way you described it was very apropos, I should say. Something about the relationship with you and your wife, and there was a turning point where, and I think it was about the decision about never to have a job again.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was definitely a turning point.
That was the big point in your life. That was the deciding factor. It's like burning the bridges.
Yeah, exactly. That I wasn't going to have anybody else responsible for my success. Because, you know, working for John Maxwell, even for working for the Microsoft partner, et cetera, they can let you go, especially in this economy. You can be let go. You think you have security. You think you have, you know, I built this lifestyle around the security of my job and the value that I'd been providing John.
Mm-hmm.
And so I built a lifestyle around it, and bam, lifestyle gone. John makes a decision, I get dropped.
Mm-hmm.
No, right. And not because of what I was doing. I was making him millions of dollars by my activities.
Right.
And I was dropped nonetheless. And that's a very important point for people to understand, is that unless you control your own destiny, unless you are really in charge of your paycheck, you never have security. And even if you are in charge, you still don't have security.
Right,
so we
right.
have this kind of false pretense or conception that we have security in life, and we really don't. So we really need to live. I know the spiritual side is your game, but you know my philosophy is that I really need to live every single moment and every single part of the day because that's really what I have. That's what I'm secure in. And so that's why I was okay relinquishing the idea of a job. That's why it was a turning point. is that I was okay now of not being in control and understanding that what I have right now is right now. And I don't need a job. I don't need anything else to fulfill that. I can keep moving in that space. And I was okay with whatever happened, whether I needed to become homeless or whether I needed to become a multi-billionaire. Either way, it was okay with me.
Let me ask you this, Joey. What
wasn't okay with her.
Yeah, she sort of freaked out a little, I understand. What would be a guiding principle if you were to pass this information on? Pass your life wisdom on to others, maybe aspiring to make that same commitment you did. What would be a guiding principle for you? Something that really you would advise people to look at or live by?
Definitely a principle I'm about to give you, but I want to give a disclaimer first. Is that okay?
Sure.
The disclaimer first is that what I'm about to say is it is something that's not easy to do.
Okay.
It's definitely not easy to do, but it is the truth. And here's the principle, and I said it at the conference that you're at, is the quicker you go into the ditch, the quicker you get rich. And what I mean by that is if you take all of the famous people from Oprah Winfrey to, gosh, even from Jim Carrey to Anthony Robbins to Joe Vitale, Jack Canfield, all these famous, wealthy, successful people, they all have a ditch story.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody lives their life, including me, of always trying to avoid the ditch. We live in ditch avoidance 100%
right.
of our time because we're scared as hell of it, and we don't want to get close to it, and we live our lives in chains and unhappy because we're avoiding the ditch.
Right.
However you define it. It could be losing my job or losing my spouse or losing my home. That could be the ditch. But every successful story has gone through the ditch. They've all gone through the ditch.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there.
So for me, my guiding principle is don't avoid the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, embrace it and take risk, because you know what? Nobody ever gets to the end of their life and say, I wish I would have played it safer. Right? They always say, I wish I would have taken more risk.
When you're at the end of your life and facing death, you know, there is no safety. You're looking at it and going, well, you know, I'm falling off the ditch now. So
yeah. Like I said, emo in the conference, I actually said the emo definition of health is dying slower.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to die regardless, right?
We
can't get out of that.
It's like the Braveheart speech. It says, you can die in your bed in an old age and you'll be safe. Or you can go out there and fight like hell and win or lose or die, but you can but you won't be bored.
Exactly. So I always say the quicker you get to the ditch, the quicker you get rich. Now you don't have to have a ditch story to get rich. You just have to be willing to go into the ditch.
You have to be willing to charge in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the religious preference, but I know that there's a famous person who once said that you have to give up your life in order to have life more abundantly. And the principle is, in the real world, is that in order to enjoy the roller coaster ride, you have to be willing to accept the consequences that you could perish in the roller coaster. You know, that's the whole exciting part of it. That's what makes it so scary but so exhilarating at the same time. So when you get on the roller coaster, you take a risk, but now you're living your life abundantly because you're having fun, you're screaming, it's incredible, but it's the same way for the people who won't get on a plane. They won't fly. They're so scared of flying. But in order to have life more abundantly, in order to experience the Hawaii, or I've gone to Slovenia and Bermuda and all these crazy places, my mom won't get on a plane to go to Bermuda because of the Bermuda Triangle. You know what I mean? So she's scared and living in this box and fearful.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this. I spoke in Bermuda. Bermuda is incredible. The water, the sand is just absolutely gorgeous. So I had to be willing to give up my life. In other words, to say, let the Bermuda Triangle take me if it must. Okay? To experience all that Bermuda had for me. You see what I mean? Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So you have to be willing to go to the ditch in order to get rich.
Now, Joey,
in order to have the abundant life.
Joey, here's the million-dollar question I want to ask you.
Yes.
Let's say that you lost everything.
Yeah.
You just everything was just suddenly taken away. Your house burned down. The insurance company went bankrupt. Everything got lost.
Yeah.
Except maybe your mind, your sanity, your wits. How would you start over? What would you do?
Yeah, that's a very good question. How I would start over? Let me just say this. That's why I'm so into social media right now, because I don't have to start over. Okay. If I build my social media platform, if I got my blog, my Facebook, my MySpace, my Twitter, all these things, I've already got all these fans. I already have all these people connected to me. So if I lost everything, all I have to do is somehow or other find, borrow, beg, steal, I don't know, get a computer with internet.
Right. Dial up.
Yeah, so however I need to do that, I could get internet access and create, and here's the thing, creating a webinar series, you're doing, you know, a radio show, creating a webinar series and creating cash from scratch, that's how I would do it. Now that I already have my network, I can go find another computer if I'm homeless, you know, go to Kinko's, you know, go to anywhere and try to find an internet and a telephone, or maybe even work at Publix. Until I got the money for a keyboard and a telephone. And then once I had that, then I'm very confident I could create $5,000 to $10,000 a month with just those two things. And my network.
That's great.
If I didn't have my network, I would build it from scratch. It may take me a little bit longer, 90, 180 days, but once I've got it, then I wouldn't need the Publix job anymore.
Sounds like you got it all together. How many people do you have, for example, following you on Twitter?
35,000.
Wow. That's quite a crew.
That's since April.
That's since April.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some questions I want to ask you later.
Well, you know, my account, if you look on Twitterholic, I'm number 8 in Atlanta. I'm like the 8th person in Atlanta. My account, if you look on the right, you'll see that it's 27 months old. I got into Twitter 27 months ago and said it was a joke. Now, if I would have gotten on the Clue train back 27 months ago, then Ashton Kutcher would have been trying to go against me for the most Twitter users. But I didn't get on the Clue train. I said it was, you know, junk. It wasn't worth it. But if I would have saw the opportunity back then as I did in April, imagine, you know, what could have possibly happened.
Now, I know at the event you had mentioned that Google is coming out with a rival to Twitter.
Yes.
It's Google Wave, and you've got some program that's going to be teaching people how to do that. You want to mention that? We've just got another minute here.
Yeah, so I do have an event coming up in October in Atlanta, Georgia, called Social Marketing Revolution. And that event is going to feature Chris Lang, Perry Belcher, and David Bullock, Obama 2.0, and some very well-known social media experts to kind of interface and launch and have a party explaining all of the aspects of marketing your business and making money using social media, but trying to also get the word out on Google Wave. Google Wave is the software that Google's coming out with that kind of replaces email, believe it or not. It replaces email. It has the test that I've seen so far that I've played around with doesn't have Google Friend Connect in it yet, so it's not really a social tool just yet. It's an email replacement tool, but as soon as they put Friend Connect in it, then it's going to go, you know, like a Twitter. It's going to go like a Facebook and be able to interface using the Wave interface using Google Friend Connect, and it's just going to revolutionize the way people communicate and socialize online using this tool. So it's very, very exciting, and if I was Twitter, I'd be shaking in my shoes.
Well, listen, Joey, we're about to wrap up here. Why don't you give, what's your Twitter name, by the way? Give people your
Twitter
name so they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, it's twitter.com/Joey_Smith. And the best place to get in contact with me is at my blog, which is joey-smith.com. And there's videos there, there's training, there's all kinds of stuff.
Well, Joey, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to meet you at the Internet Marketers of Georgia, I think is up in Duluth coming up here shortly.
Awesome.
Which you're also the head of, by the way.
Yes.
If anybody wants to join us up in Duluth, you go to themeetup.com, and we're there. I think it's in Duluth, Georgia.
Yep.
You're listening to the show, so there's no phone calls. Don't call in. You're hearing the show on August 4th, presumably, and I'm on a cruise. So next week, August 11th, we'll have Rhonda Del Baccio, who is a story lady. She is a blind lady, lives in Missouri, internet marketing, social media maven. She's done it all, teaches and writes books, shows people how to write books and promote them, and we're going to have her come on the show. So stay tuned. August 11th at 6 p.m., that'll be a live show, so...